This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
James quit. He hated the conversation, so he just left.
James quit.
He's probably doing a reset as soon as James wraps up, because I'd actually be curious to hear what James thinks on this, because James does have kind of a old school journalist mentality. And the other issue is, too, I think with the way writers write today, the way that people talk on television, we have so much access now to athletes. Mm-hmm. We have, whether it be through social media, whether it be through, well, it's podcasts, starting five, like Deuce Tatum is thrust into the spotlight. Mm-hmm. You know, he's because of the access that we have to Jason Tatum, he's out there now. Mm-hmm. And that's a unique thing that, like, Mike and Tony, you know, talking about PTI, they didn't really have that.
Right.
Like, it's not like I forgot his kids' names, but it's not like Michael Jordan's kids were all over social media.
Jeffrey and Marcus, I think.
Thank you. It's not like they were on reality shows. Mm-hmm. They were barely on airtime or come flat. Like, his mom got more run than the kids did. Yeah. So that's a bit of a different component, and I think it allows media to get a little too comfortable.
Mm-hmm. People don't realize, like, this is real life, too. Like, yes, there's players and all that, but you can't say certain things to certain people. Mm-hmm. Like, because, like Ken, you kind of said earlier, like, you're going to invoke a reaction where, like, might not be right or wrong, but, like, that's what you caused.
Yeah. Yeah, and once we keep saying it, I mean, I'm not saying, like, this is how it should be handled, but some people handle things different ways. Some people let that slide. Some people just talk to you. Some people won't be at peace with themselves until they get physical. And some people have different ways that they react in different moments. Maybe Joel a year ago was ready to talk. He was just talked it out. Today, he might not be that person, or vice versa. Maybe he used to be a physical guy. Now he talks it out. When you talk about the guy, McCray, who that was his name, right? McCary? The guy who wrote it?
Marcus.
Marcus Hayes.
Hayes. You've got to be prepared for whatever comes of that, because that crossed the line. That was pretty personal. And yeah, you got to be ready for that. And maybe he was. I'm not even saying that to say he wasn't, but that was ridiculous.
It's almost one of those things where it's like, yeah, suspend Joel, but Joel probably did something he felt he needed to do.
Yeah. Maybe James isn't coming back.
Feels very strongly. Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe he's a big Marcus Hayes guy.
James, are you there?
He was here at some point, by
no,
the way.
No, he was. Maybe I was.
He was here, ready to go.
Done with us.
Oh, he's back.
Just done with
us. James, we thought you just might have said the hell with this and left.
I'm having audio issues.
Yeah, I see that. I don't think your mic is connected. I think that's what's wrong.
Yeah, the mic's not connecting, so I'm using earbuds. Can you guys hear me okay?
No, we hear you fine. Hear you. Yeah, you're good.
Okay.
You're good. What do you think of the situation that happened with Joel in Philadelphia?
As someone who's been in a locker room when something got sideways, I think things get heated, and, you know, it's tough because, you know, I haven't read everything that the writer wrote, but, you know, I don't know that you want to put things on a player like the way that it was written. And I feel like it's actually very similar to what happened when DeMarcus Cousins and Andy Farrillo got into it in Sacramento. Like, Cousins has always said, like, you can write whatever you want about me. You can say whatever it is you want about me, but leave my family out of it. Like, that's not okay. Don't, you know, I think basically Andy had written about how DeMarcus's brother had been arrested over the summer and, you know, just kind of like laid in almost like you come from bad people. You come from bad stock. And so, you know, we shouldn't trust you to be a leader. We shouldn't trust you to be whatever it is you are for this team. And I kind of feel like, you know, there are times when you can talk about people's families and stuff in a positive way. But unless it directly connects to the player and what's happening on the court, I've always kind of left it off to the side. Like, I don't, you know, do we celebrate when Domantas Sabonis, when his wife has a child? Yeah. Or De'Aaron Fox, of course. But outside of that, you know, even when it comes to that stuff, if a player is missing and like out due to personal reasons, like, I don't dig. And if it's because of a baby, you ask the player if everything's okay. And if they want to make that statement and talk about it, that's on them. But outside of that, I think their personal lives and stuff should be sort of left on the outside, unless it becomes just an extreme case where it's always on social media and weird stuff is happening and all that. But for me, it felt a little out of bounds, but you also should never touch a reporter. Like, that's the other side of it. Mm.
Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily subscribe to that, because they can't say whatever they want to say and not get touched. Like, you can't do. I know there's like consequences for that.
Yeah, and
but
that's
I think that's part of the problem. Like, I think they feel, a lot of them feel, they can say or do whatever, and it's cool because they can't touch me.
Yeah.
And if there was a threat of, hey, if I say something out of pocket, it may get physical. Maybe that'll stop situations like this. But
I think how the NBA handles this will be really interesting. Because if it's a hefty, I assume, suspension. Mm-hmm. That's a complete assumption on my part. If it's a hefty suspension, that's going to derail a lot of players from letting that thought cross their mind.
For sure.
If it's not, you know, there are going to be reporters who are upset about that, but it's going to give... It's probably going to give players a certain level of comfort to where it's like, okay, we have something on our side right now.
And it was so unnecessary, right? Like, I'm looking at the quote again, and all that stuff that he got in trouble for, the Marcus got in trouble for, did not have to be there, and he still could have got his point across. All he had to say was, Joel says he wants to be great. Well, in order to be great at your job, you first must show up for work. And boom, 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 boom. That's it. Like, that gets the point across the same way. The son and the dead brother and all this other stuff, completely unnecessary. Completely unnecessary to the story of what you're trying to get across. You could have said, got the same point across without any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. I don't disagree. I mean, that's kind of like... You know, again, like, I've seen all kinds of crazy stuff happen in a locker room, but, you know, I think we also need to know here, like, what exactly did happen, because, you know, the initial reports were he punched him. And so the Sixers, the NBA at this point, are calling it a shove in the shoulder. But, you know, what's the difference between a shove in the shoulder and a punch? and an arm are two totally different things. And there's still, I think that there's a way in which you can have a disagreement with a writer. You can have a reporter. You know, again, I've had an incident in the locker room myself where I had a player who didn't push me but threatened to, and we had no problems doing that over something I had said on TV. And they didn't like what I had said, and I stood by what I said, and it was all about basketball. It had nothing to do with family. He brought his own family into it, like that his people at home were watching what I said on TV, and I'm like, all right, it's neither here nor there. I wasn't out of bounds. But I also, like, again, DeMarcus never threw a punch or pushed Andy Farrillo. I think that's the separation. You can have a loud disagreement with somebody, and you can even, you know, like there was a situation in the locker room where DeMarcus said, hey, I am not going to speak to the media if that person is still in the room. If you guys want me to talk tonight, he's got to go. If not, if he wants to walk out the door, then I'll sit here and talk. If not, I'm going to go get dressed and leave. And media director put it up to the player. Put it up to the media member. Said, look, that's it. Like, if you want to be here, he's not going to talk. And the rest of your people here are not going to get to interview him. All of your, you know, basically coworkers that are media. But if you want to leave, he's going to talk. And the reporter chose to leave. And it's not always going to be that cut and dry. But I also think that there should be like a certain amount of line here. And either way, I think Embiid crossed it. You can't lay hands on somebody. Just like if Embiid wanted to go out on a post-game interview and lambast a reporter and start talking about his family, a reporter can't walk in that locker room and start throwing punches either. And so, I mean, in a civilized society, we can't throw punches or push.
You're adorable for believing this civilization, this society.
Well,
civilized.
Course.
Tune in tomorrow, James. Tune in tomorrow, pal. Tune in tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right. Let's shift our. By the way, Paul George expected to make his debut tonight. I guess no one cares about that.
I do care. But shout out James Hamm. Reported officially, Kevin Herter's out tonight.
Okay. Thank you for that. That's terrific. James Hamm reports that Kevin Herter is out tonight. Is Doug McDermott starting? Why? And could you text your boy and tell him he's overthinking things?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I get it. But I see the other side. Like, Mike has been very clear that Malik Monk is coming off the bench. And it doesn't matter what Malik Monk does, he's coming off the bench, right? So I look at this in a very similar situation. Mike loves Malik in his role. He all of a sudden has found a role for Keon that's working really well, and he's trying to develop and foster that role for Keon. And by skipping over Keon and moving him up to the starting lineup and then having a hole to fill in his second team, he's trying to keep that second team together, which is struggling, and trying to build some chemistry there, and having Doug McDermott start the first and the third quarters and go to the bench very quickly. Mm. They're very similar style of players. They do similar things for the Kings. They're both great shooters. They both are movement guys. So I get it. And I also, you know, it doesn't, like, if you're Keon, it's like, okay, well, what did I do wrong? You don't really have to think of it that way. I don't think Keon did anything wrong. And I also don't think that Mike is doing anything wrong by starting the game that way, because I believe that that's what he's trying to do. Like, he's trying to build that second unit and trying to keep Keon in a position where he's really found success and then just playing in more minutes, you know? So I think Keon's done a really good job here of playing so well that he's forcing Mike's hand to play him more and more. And there could come a point where he takes over the starting shooting guard role. But for right now, I think that things were working and then a player got sick and you didn't want to mess everything up because one guy got sick and then add a bunch of confusion to the mix. And so I get it. You know, like, whether I agree fully with the idea or not, you know, that's neither here nor there, but I'm gonna pretty much guarantee you that's why Mike did what he did, because that's been his reasoning behind so many of the moves like this in the past.
And it makes sense, Sam. You know what I mean? It makes sense. I get it. I get it. But I also don't see the harm in just starting Keon or Malik. You know, do we know that is just never going to work? Like, no, we don't know that. But I understand the logic and the thinking in trying to keep everybody acclimated to a certain role and just inserting somebody in that situation that wouldn't derail that at all. But yeah, I'd like to see him try one time. Just try and see what Malik would look like as a starter. Try.
Well, but the problem is that once you try him, you put it out there in the air. And then what does that mean?
Pandora's box.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like then it's like,
man,
okay, well,
open Pandora's box. Malik score. Malik averaging 20. They got 4 20-point scores. The Kings have won 8 in a row. What are we going to do? What are we going to do?
What happens, though? Let me flip that around. What if he goes for 25 and they lose and they have no bench scoring and you're stuck with that as a reality, too? And a guy who now has 3 more years left on his deal and wants to start. Until he can start, and it's not about what Malik can do and what he can't do. It's about what fits the whole team, and I think that's the tough part. So
to that point, though, if Doug McDermott gets – if Malik has 25 and Doug McDermott gets 4, does it matter if it comes off the bench or not?
Well, it depends. Are you down 20?
There's that, too. Which goes to my original point.
Well, like, you're not going to be down 20 when Malik enters the game, but still.
Which goes to my other point, though, is I don't think it mattered. Like, I don't think McDermott starting mattered. The minutes were still there for Malik. Malik played really well on Saturday. They were there for Keon as well. So, and, like, we spent time on the show in dead silence trying to figure out. McDermott didn't do anything bad in his time and cause the Kings to be down by, but they were down by 1 when he left the game. So
yeah,
it all worked out, except that.
Yeah, and I think that first unit is working incredibly well. I think that next group, when they bring in Keon and Malik together, has worked extremely well. With the other 3 starters. And then I think the closing lineup has just been off the charts good. And what you need to do is figure out what's going on with those other couple of lineups in the middle, because there's a couple of lineups that aren't working at all. And that's the toughest thing for Mike at this point. You know, put guys in positions where they're succeeding for right now, but then you got to fix what's broken. And, you know, it's tough, but, you know, Trey Lyles is off to just a horrendous start coming back from injury, and that's hurting. And, you know, I think Will Z just put up a stat a little while ago with Keegan Murray on the court, the Kings are a plus 14.3, and with him off the court, they're like a negative 24. So they're like it's a plus minus swing of like 38 when he's off on and off the court. And that's because the Kings don't have a second Keegan Murray. They don't have a second player like that that can take on sort of some of that role. And you're kind of hoping that Trey Lyles will figure it out and be one of those guys that can help sort of lessen that blow when Keegan stepped off the court.
So you're talking about players establishing themselves. It feels like maybe Keon Ellis has done that. Since the famous situational rotational player, Mike said he may wind up being after that DNP CD, it feels like Keon has done a nice little job of establishing himself. Of course, part of that is that Kevin Herter, in fact, didn't play last game. And I think Keon wound up playing 28 minutes, somewhere around there, 26, 28 minutes in that overtime game, that overtime loss against Toronto. Is that fair? To assume he has kind of established himself and earned more of a regular rotational spot that I think a lot of us thought he was deserving of, or is it just favorable matchup for Keon and Mike right now and Kevin Herter's absence?
No, I think that Keon has earned his spot right back into the rotation. I mean, that's what it looks like to me, at least. I mean, we've had a couple of games where you fully feel like he checked in and he was just like very, very good. And you need him to continue to bring that energy and sort of that punch. And like, look, there could come a point in this season where Mike looks at the rotations and comes to the conclusion that the bench needs more scoring and the starting lineup doesn't. And he can do something like swap these two players in Kevin Huerter and Keon Ellis. But for right now, Keon has done, he's done exactly what he did last year that earned his way onto the court. And if he can continue to do that, bring that energy and that pop, then, you know, and it's, he just brings so much, like, I don't know. It's, I've always compared him to like the defensive version of Malik Monk. Right. So when he steps on the court, all of the intensity on the court changes on the defensive side of the ball for the Kings. And that's a good thing. You know, the second that he starts playing more minutes, you've seen De'Aaron Fox's steal totals skyrocket. Like, that's what he brings to the table. I mean, the Kings are third in the league in deflections right now, at like 18.3 per game. And they're third in the league in steals at over 10 a game. Like, that's, it's a lot because of the new ideas that Luke Laux has put in to the off, to the defense, but it's also because Keon Ellis is out there doing what he does. You know, DeMar DeRozan has been really good with deflections and steals. Kevin Herter's been really good. But you're starting to build an identity, and Keon is part of that identity on the defensive end.
This is a side note. I just kind of observe the guy and observe the way he goes about his job and just the profession. I think Luke Louds is a hell of a coach. I think he's going to be as head coach at some point, and he's really good at what he does. I just kind of watch him on the bench, watch him in these little videos, and even when he talks. It's just, I think he's a really good coach. They did just fine bringing him up to the first row.
Yeah, and I think that's what you know, like when we're talking to Chris Biederman last week, what he talked about was like the first two games of the season, the rotations were a little clunky and, you know, Mike played his guys like massive amounts of minutes. Right. But a lot of that was because he's relied so long on Jody Fernandez to like do the rotations and to switch players in and out of the game. And he's coaching on the floor and those guys are moving players around. And Luke is now part of that and was probably a step slow on some of that and overwhelmed with trying to manage the defensive side and all the other things. So I definitely think that we're starting to see the team settle in. And I also, like, I see exactly what Luke's points of emphasis are on the defensive side of the ball when I'm watching the team. Like, every single time a guy tries to drive through one of the Kings players, you see his teammate hedge over and reach in and try to swat the ball. That's what their defense is. It's to be disruptive with you know, getting in the passing lanes, getting in the driving lanes, and really playing team defense as opposed to just leaving a guy out on an island. So I think he's doing a great job too. And I also agree with you. I think he will be a head coach in this league. The way he talks, the way he communicates to the media when given the opportunity. And like, look, I've talked to Luke many times. He's a very bright dude and very warm and like very focused. Like he's definitely going to be a guy who moves up the ranks.
Hammer, on a scale from 1 to 10, how worried are you about 3-point shooting?
Tonight or in general?
In general.
And do you mean defending the three or shooting the three?
Shooting it.
Like, look, I think the funny thing about looking at stats this early in the season is, you know, it's a 6-game sample size. Like, De'Aaron Fox was shooting 36.6% from three before last night's game. And now he's shooting 26%. And you take away those 11 missed threes and it changes the entire complexity of the Kings shooting percentage from three. And so, like, look, I think that there is a concern there when Kevin Huerter's out and while Trey Lyles is still trying to find his game. But once all those pieces start working together and you start having to defend Trey like on every possession because he could shoot a three, and you got to defend Herter because he's on the court and he's going to shoot the three, it opens the spacing for the other players to get better shots. So I think the bigger question I have right now isn't so much the three. It's how against Atlanta, I thought the Kings played hot potato and moved the ball about as well as any time I've ever seen them. Like, there was one possession where it wasn't in anyone's hands for more than like 0.3.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A second, and the ball just shot around the perimeter, back to the other side. Keon Ellis finds, you know, De'Aaron Fox for wide open three in the corner. And it was just a boom, 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 boom. Like, again and again, you saw this ball and player movement that was spectacular. The problem is that they're not being able to replicate that from one night to the next, just because I don't think they're 100% comfortable yet with each other. And so I would have liked to have seen, as opposed to, you know, a lot of forced threes against Toronto, like the ball movement pickup, get the ball back. And, you know, against Sabonis had 10 assists. It should have been just kept going through him and not doing all the isolation stuff that we saw at the end of the game. I mean, it's great that DeMar DeRozan started cooking and started hitting those mid-range jump shots. But there's, you know, I don't know how to say it. There was no rhyme or reason for the shot he took at the end of the game when they were down three, where he just decided to walk into a three-point shot before any of his teammates were ready. And so you're still learning each other. You're still trying to put it all together. But at the same time, there are going to be moments where it works and moments where it doesn't. And that's why we always talk about like the 10 game mark or the 20 game mark, or Kyle keeps saying, call me at Christmas, because we need to see this team like find their identity and then rely on that identity. And I feel like against Toronto, they stopped relying on what worked and they played too much ISO, and that's why things fell apart. So just my point of view, maybe I'm off here, but I'm not super concerned with the three.
All right, we'll talk about the game against Miami tonight, get James's thoughts on the up and down nature of that Raptors game and perhaps why this team seems to give up a big run every single game. Is that just basketball or is something going on with the Kings? We'll talk about that with our Kings insider from the Insiders, James Hamm with Dealer1 KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino. Get in on the action. Sky River Casino is the place to play with 2,100 of the newest slot machines and over 80 table games. Sky's the limit at Sky River Casino. But radio show doesn't eat popcorn.
Let me see. Oh, you know who going off tonight? This is easy. I don't know how I didn't think about this. Drew Smith is definitely going to be killing tonight.
Drew Smith. Kings are going to get their ass beat by a dude named Drew Smith.
Drew Smith or Haywood Highsmith going off.
You're making these names up. There's no way these names are real.
Drew Smith. How many years? Second season out of Missouri. He's going off. And then Haywood Highsmith, Fourth season. I'll give you $1 trillion if you guess this college.
Nope.
Wheeling.
Okay.
Is that like in West Virginia?
Oh, hey, he going off tonight.
The Wheeling Whalers.
Hey, hey,
James, whatever you did to your computer, you look 10 times worse.
Great.
No, oh, God, man. James is way worse.
James is like Pac-Man.
James, you look like an Atari system.
He just left us.
I was for real. That was just where that was. That was a million times worse. Whatever you did, undo it.
Oh, man, the best.
Get on the phone.
I love when this happens because I know James is furious. We think it's funny. James does not. There you go. You look better,
great.
James.
This is great radio. This is great.
How about now? Is that better?
Now you're back to it is better than what
you
before.
Look better. We'll
it sounds better the other way.
We'll survive whatever the phone mishap is or whatever the microphone mishap is. Crown Sackdown says, James just quit the show. He just quit.
Hey, we'll play our own version of Prize Picks.
Okay.
More or less, 8.5 points for Hayward Highsmith.
Less.
Jesse? Oh, no. I think more.
I'm going more, too.
I'll go more. 2 threes from Hayward Highsmith.
He averages 4.3 points per game.
Oh, man.
We'll get 2 threes from him today. I'm calling it. It's my lock. It's my lock of the day.
6'5".
Stone cold lock of the week.
6'5" wingman out of Wheeling.
Wheeling. It sounds like a professional
wrestler. I don't even know where that's at.
Sounds like where Bam Bam Bigelow is
I
from.
I watch every college basketball game that can be played, and I've never heard of Wheeling.
Yeah, that's
Wheeling, California.
West Virginia, by the way.
It is West Virginia.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, look at you. Jesse. Yeah. Yeah. Jesse Vitale out here. He knows all the.
Well, Wheeling, West Virginia is a place.
I didn't even know that.
Okay.
I don't know my West Virginia cities.
Well,
the bad thing for the Kings is that the Heat have like a whole collection of guys who typically bust up the Kings. Mm. Like they do. I mean, like. Look at Alec Burks loves to play against his former team. You know, up and down the list, Kevin Love has had big games against the Kings. Like this is just, Josh Richardson had what, 24 against the Kings last year. Like this is just a weird collection of players. And most of them have had one of those like spectacular games against Sacramento.
Hammer, was there anything that happened on Saturday night that concerned you in that game against the Toronto Raptors?
Other than they lost? Yeah, I think the hero ball down the stretch, like that just like you got away from who you are and who you should be. And like, I think part of it was needed to get them back in the game, but you can't have Domantas Sabonis take 10 shots in a game. Like that doesn't make any sense. He's too good of an offensive weapon. And, you know, again, Keegan Murray got it rolling early and then fouls out late. Yeah, I just thought like overall it just got sticky. It got really sticky. And I think part of that's because they're exhausted, you know, flying overnight. Like, and that's, we keep talking about this. That's not like a short flight. That's not a Sacramento to, you know, LA flight. That's a 2.5 hour flight plus, you know, it's 1,000 miles in the air, and then getting into Toronto in the middle of the night and having to go through customs. Like that team probably didn't get in until 3 or 4 in the morning. And so, look, those things, they do matter, especially early in the season before you sort of have your traveling sea legs. But either way, that's not a good team. And you probably should have figured out a way to beat them.
Yeah. I heard you guys kind of discussing this earlier. Do you put this in the same category as last year's loss to quote unquote bad teams? I mean, we're assuming Toronto's going to be bad. We don't know, but is this the same as losing to Charlotte, losing to Detroit last year, losing to Washington?
Yeah, I don't think so. Like, I don't think Toronto's going to be, I think they'll be one of the bottom, you know, six teams, seven teams in the league. But that doesn't mean that you excuse like the basics of what that of the trip. And that's where I'm going to look at that one as partially a scheduling loss, partially a beginning early season loss, but I can't really look at it as like some horrific loss. Yeah, they didn't have Scotty Barnes, but I got to be honest, Scotty Barnes probably wouldn't have gone crazy like Chris Boucher did. You know, you got some dude who came in and started hitting every shot that he threw up, which is just like, what in the world is happening? Again, next year he'll be on the Miami Heat. He'll be with the collection of randos who have torched the Kings. But, you know, it's kind of the way it goes. Like, the Kings have a propensity to let some oddball, like, what was his name the night before that killed him with all the threes?
Garrison, yeah.
Yeah, Garrison, Mr. Garrison. Like, yeah, Garrison Matthews. Like, again, you could have thought the whole time, hey, I don't think that he's going to be able to sustain that and the Kings are going to win this game. And then he just kept hitting him. And so at a certain point, you had to defend him a little differently, but what are you supposed to do? Change your whole defense because Garrison Matthews or because Chris Boucher is hitting shots? No. You're going to ride it out because the laws of averages usually, you know, happen. They usually, you know, like, it usually catches up to somebody who doesn't play a ton of minutes regularly and who isn't as good as, you know, some of the other players on their team. So I definitely think that it's not a good loss. And we would all love to be talking about a 4-game win streak and a 3-0, road trip at this point. But I think it more depends on how you look tonight, how you look when you get back from Sacramento. And like, look, if we had this whole excuse built in that, you know, the first game back from a road trip, you usually don't play all that well. Well, that's out the window. Like, you don't get that anymore because you got to beat Toronto. That's not a good team. And we just saw that they're not a good team. The fact that they beat the Kings doesn't change that fact. They're just not very good. And so the Kings need to do a better job and figure it out.
Hammer, one positive that came out over the weekend is, I mean, there are several, but one team-wide positive is the fact that I think they shot 62 free throws over the course of those two games. And that's been an 80% plus in both of those games. That's been a pretty consistent trend, a high volume of free throws, a very good percentage in that high volume of free throws. And it's hard, James, to not feel like this isn't the DeMar DeRozan effect.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't just think that he gets free throws for himself. I think that he's a guy who has a great relationship with officials, who has conversations, who gets to the line because he deserves it and because people bite on his pump fake all the time. But I also think that like his way of maneuvering around the court and sort of working the room is helping his teammates. Like, I think they're getting to the line. And not only that, I think they're hitting really well. You know, last time I checked, they were first in the league in free throw percentage, which is just absolutely stunning when you're dealing with a team that was last in the league last year. Mm-hmm. And not only are they shooting a ton, yeah, they're still first at 83.2%. They're also fourth in free throw makes and sixth in free throw attempts. And this is a good thing. And it's why, you know, a lot of people are panicking because De'Aaron Fox is shooting 26.8%. But like, look, De'Aaron Fox did the work all summer. He's shooting 87.5% from the free throw line right now. Like, and Domantas Sabonis, who shot like 74% last year, he's shooting 81.6% from the free throw line. So it's everybody. The only, you know, Malik Monk, out of the guys who are taking any volume at all, is probably your best free throw shooter coming into the season, is your lowest at 78.6% right now. So just kind of an interesting way that the season is starting. But I put a lot of it on DeMar and his demeanor and his ability to get to the line and his ability to communicate with officials.
Quick side note, I was dead wrong. If maybe, forgive me if you guys already talked about it when I was gone, but tonight is a 5:15 start. I thought it was a 4:30 start.
Oh,
it's 5:15. 8:15 in Miami. I wasn't expecting to see that. But, yeah, it's 5:15 tonight. So anybody that's used to the 4 o'clock or 4:40,
I thought it was 4:30 for sure.
Yeah, 5:15 tonight.
Well, that's dumb.
Well,
you know, I'm fine with it. Given our schedule, I'm perfectly fine with it.
But and maybe the Kings should experiment with 8 o'clock starts.
How about not?
Oh, I'm just saying.
How about you do this show by yourself, pal? Yeah, we're not doing that.
I'm trying to get there. No. I'm trying to get there in time. 8 o'clock start.
You get there in plenty of time if you can find a parking space.
That's tough.
Otherwise, yeah. Yeah, I know.
But, James, I wanted to ask you, one of the things that kind of stuck out to me on Saturday, and I don't know how I feel about it. I'm not saying it's a super, you know, great thing or, oh, man, look at what they showed. But there was about 6 or 7 times I thought the game was over on Saturday, and they just kept battling. We talked about the things they had to deal with going into the game as far as the scheduling and getting through customs and, you know, just the weird nature of that. Is there any positive to take out of, you know, the fact that they kept battling, or is that kind of number one what they're supposed to do, or it doesn't get as much love because they're going up against a team like the Raptors?
No, I think that there's plenty to like from that game. Again, like, this team isn't complete yet, right? And I don't think we're going to see a lot of games where, you know, DeMar DeRozan takes 27 shots to score 33 points. So those are kind of the things that I would point to. Like, when you're tired, when you're exhausted, when things are going wrong, you usually regress to what you know best. And I honestly think that that's what happened in that game. The Kings really regressed to isolation basketball, and they stopped moving the ball, and they stopped sharing, and they stopped, you know, setting good screens for each other. And the player movement stopped, the ball movement stopped. And next thing you know, you got a whole bunch of dribbling and just pounding the air out of the ball. That's kind of Toronto too. And Toronto has some, well, let's not take anything away from Toronto. They do have good defenders. You know, they are long and athletic. Just because Scotty Barnes isn't there doesn't mean that, you know, the rest of the team doesn't have some skill. But at the end of the day, like, the Kings need to figure out how to win games. And each time you're in a game like that, it's just another opportunity to try to figure it out. And it's one of the weird things of the NBA that very rarely do you just skip that step. And I think the games that the Kings have won this year, number one, it's going to have been against pretty bad teams. And number two, they put – like, big distance away from themselves and with the other team in the late third quarter. And so they go into the fourth with a cushion, and they're able to sort of sustain throughout the fourth and come away with wins. They're still trying to figure out who it is that's going to take what shots in late in the game. And that's, you know, that's going to take some time to figure out and sort of find the balance of this roster. And again, how to not go away from what's working. That's something that, like, this team has got to figure out. Like, when the ball is moving, this team is exciting and fun and nearly unbeatable. And when it slows down and everything kind of gets, you know, sticky, that's when they're vulnerable.
How do you feel about the way the defense is playing? It feels like it's improving. I don't know if the number, or it feel like it's improved, but I don't know if the numbers match that out, but the eye test kind of does.
Yeah, right now they're 12th in the league in defensive rating at 110.3. And realistically, they could be a top 10 defense after tonight. Mm. Like, and part of that is because of who they've played. You know, you haven't had, like, a team that's, you know, one of the top tier, like, world beater teams in the league yet. I don't care what the Lakers look like today, or, you know, like, they're, or even Minnesota. Minnesota's still figuring things out. But I think the defense has been good. Again, deflections are high, 18.3 per game, which is third in the league. Steals over 10 a game, third in the league. Like, I think they're being aggressive. I think they're helping each other. They've got to figure out the whole defend without fouling thing. You know, Sabonis is averaging over 4 fouls per game, and that's a problem. And they've had, you know, even Keon Ellis got tossed from the game the other night, got 6 fouls and was out. But I'd also point out this, that I think the officials are having a very difficult time deciding who and what they are right now. Are they the first half officials, or are they the second half officials? And I think we've seen a couple of games where it's, you know, what was a game that it felt like it took us? Oh, the Portland game. The Portland game felt like the first half took like 3 hours. It was so brutal to watch. And
very similar to halftime on Saturday.
Oh.
Shout out, I
may have missed that.
Oh, good thing. Good. You yeah. lucked out, James.
Don't worry. It's still on right now.
Yeah, it's probably Vince is still talking somewhere.
Oh.
Yeah, Vince has not stopped talking. I don't know. The NBA must have been, hey, wrap it up.
Oh.
Terrible.
Yeah, 45 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Hey. Yeah, that's so how awful. Long halftime took. It took 45 minutes.
They're going to get fined for that, aren't they?
I would think so.
Like, I hope they do because
you can ask for extra time. That's very normal, right? You can ask for extra time in those situations.
But she can't do
you
that.
Can't ask for 45 minutes.
Well, I think they asked for extra time and went over the extra time.
I'm certain they did. I think extra time is 5 minutes, not 30.
Yeah, I was waiting for someone to like flick the lights, like hey,
like a comedy club.
Right. Yeah,
get that joke off, pal.
Quick, you gotta go. That was bad, but my point that I was making is look at the Portland game and how bad it was in the first half. And then we get to the next game, which is what Utah, right? And they don't call anything. There's like, 12 free throws for each team, and the game just moves super quick. I think the officials are struggling to know who and what they should be right now. Wow. And how involved they should be in the game. And that's really difficult for the players because – you know, it's like calling balls and strikes. If you're going to call the high strike, then call the high strike all night, right? If you're going to call the low strike, call the low strike. If you're going to give them 3 inches on the outside of the plate, then that's fine. As long as you do it every single dude, every single batter. But the second you go into a game and, you know, sometimes a high strike is a high strike, and other times like, oh, that's ball four. And you're like, wait a sec, you just called it like 2 seconds earlier. So I think that's where the players are getting a little confused, and I think it's probably why the Kings have committed so many fouls. But I also think when you commit a bunch of fouls, I mean, when you go to the free throw line all the time, the officials are almost like they're looking over and going, okay, we called like 17 fouls on one team, and we've only called 9 on the other. We should probably even this out a little bit. And that's how we just keep getting stuck in these moments where it's just foul after foul after foul.
James, you could have stopped all that by saying the officials are struggling. And that could apply to a conversation we'll have in middle of March. It's them. But no, your point is well taken. What you looking for tonight? What you think might happen tonight? What's your feel about Kings Heat last game on a road trip?
Yeah, I think Kyle and I do predictions, and I think I had the Kings like 111, 103. I think they've got a good chance to win this game. I don't think Miami is a great team, and I think the Kings are a very good offensive team that's figuring things out. And I think this could be a good game for the Kings. I think they'll come in focused. I think not having Kevin Huerter will hurt them. But it also will allow Mike to play Keon Ellis a lot more on Tyler Hero. And, you know, that probably would be a better matchup anyways. I think this is going to be a good game, but I also think the Kings should be really hungry to come home 3-1 from the trip and to sort of get back over 500 and establish themselves, before coming home and, a winnable Toronto game, maybe a winnable game against the Clippers on Friday. A game against, the Suns coming up. You're kind of building up to that Suns game and trying to get on the right path. And then what do you finish San Antonio on the road to? That's your first 10 games of the season. Where are you at after 10 games? What do you look like? And I'll remind you, like the beginning of the year, I was told by someone, well, don't be surprised if the Kings come out of the first 10 games around 500. Like, don't be surprised just because they haven't had all their players and things have been weird trying to get everything rolling. And, I think they're a little bit ahead of that, even though they are 3-3 right now. I think they have potential here to finish 6-4 before, the first 10 games, maybe a little bit over 500. So, I think this will be a good game, but I think they got a good shot to win it.
And Golden State is 5-1, and they're plus 18 on average right now. Goodness gracious. They've beaten the Blazers, the Jazz. They've beaten the Pelicans twice, who, Lord. And do not look good. No, they don't. But you mentioned Phoenix, so that made me look at the standings. Like, are they still at one loss? And sure enough, Phoenix at 5-1 right now.
They're good.
Yeah, they are. They are. Trey Lyles, to get going, just needs to be on the floor. Is that all it is?
Yeah, and it's such a struggle because you can tell he's in his head so much. He's trying to fight through this. What's he shooting? 25% from the field, 23% from three. And like all he needs is for, you know, two or three threes to go down and just get him on the right page. And it's not like he's missing by much. It's not like he's playing poorly, but you can see that it's definitely frustrating. And we had that the moment at home last week where he ripped his shirt, his uniform off during when he got pulled off the court. Yeah, it's just a matter, and that's a tough thing. You know, Mike knows the only way for this whole thing to work is to get 8 or 9 of these guys functioning at the highest level possible, and one of them is missing right now. So you're sort of firing on 7 cylinders while you got 8 guys playing, and it's tough, and they need him. And I think Mike making him play the center position more is the best thing for this team, but they need him to snap out of whatever's happening and get back to the player he's going to be. And it's tough. Groin injury, you know, he didn't get to run around and do a whole lot of working out for five, six weeks coming into the season. Just a little bit out of sync.
Well, I'm ready for a win.
I'm ready for what's his name? What's his name again?
Haywood Highsmith.
That's not a good little player.
You're going for 19 tonight.
I said more than 8.5.
More than 8.5.
This is a 5:15 start. We got to wait for another hour and 15 minutes for this game to start.
Yeah. 5:15, man.
Who starts a game? Why are they doing this? Is this normal?
I don't know. Are they doing another jersey retirement?
Oh, dude, if they do a jersey retirement, just tell me about the game in the morning.
Retire Carlos Arroyo's jersey?
That's right. Yeah, the Mario Chalmers night at in South Beach.
Well, and then, you know, the bad part about this is Mario would know it's his night, so he's going to talk all night. Like, Vince tried to keep the speech short. Well, I just did my Hall of Fame speech and still managed to talk that whole time.
Yeah, come on, just Vince. Pulled out the Hall of Fame speech and started over again. Thanks, Vince. Yeah.
The only dude who we're supposed to celebrate and pissed us off by the end of the night.
So, Miss Mac 10 actually brings up a good point as I look at this schedule. All games tonight are 15 minutes apart. And they are.
Okay, what are we doing? What gimmick is that?
I don't know.
That's not a nightly thing.
No, it may have something to do with voting, but I don't know, because they're not playing tomorrow.
That's tomorrow.
Yeah, but I don't know. But
that's probably, you're probably right. They're probably trying to stagger so people can watch multiple games. And as one game ends, the next game will be in the last 15 minutes.
Literally.
It's like to do with voting.
Maybe it has nothing to do with voting, but I'm thinking, yeah, 4 o'clock, 4:15, 4:30, 4:45, 5 o'clock, 5:15, 5:30, all 15 minutes apart.
Whatever, man. We're leaving. We're going over to KSFM. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code KIFM. Get $50 instantly after you place your first $5 lineup. Again, that's promo code KIFM. We will see you tomorrow. Beginning at 10 a.m. here with the Insiders on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos Kings, light the beam!
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.